sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Friends, grace and peace to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is a gospel lesson for anyone who missed Easter. Now, maybe you missed worship on Easter Sunday, and that's okay. Grace abounds. But maybe you were sitting right here, right where you are on Easter Sunday morning, and you still missed Easter. Maybe you're worshiping with family or friends, at another church, by that I mean on another website on Easter Sunday, and you still missed Easter. Maybe I preached a sermon and led us through the liturgy on Easter Sunday morning, April 4th, and still missed Easter. The lilies were wonderful, the music was joyous, the children's pictures on Facebook, always so cute in their Easter outfits, the beautiful flowers on the cross out front. Maybe you came up here for communion. You laughed together with your face masks on and then ate ham back at home. But maybe even while you participated in all the Easter morning and afternoon activities, you still missed Easter. This is a gospel text for anyone who missed Easter. Today, Jesus again appears and stands among his disciples. Like we heard from the Gospel of John last week, Jesus announces again to them and to us, peace be with you. And then he does something. Just to make sure we don't miss Easter, he shows them his wounds and he asks them for food. Just in case you think Jesus is out of touch with the human experience, we have this text. Just in case you think Jesus can't possibly be in our midst, he's just a spirit, just a ghost, as the text says, we have this text. Just in case you think Jesus can't feel the way we feel, we have this text. Can't hunger the way we hunger, we have this text. Just in case you missed Easter, we have this gospel text. Today, amen, Jesus shows himself to those who follow him, and the picture is, once again, not what we would expect. Jesus, before the resurrection, fed others. Now he asks to be fed. How about that? What do you make of that? Before the resurrection, he was always feeding people, right? Feeding the 5,000 and more, breaking bread at the Last Supper. Now he asks to be fed. What do you make of that? The power and the glory of Easter reveals to us a wounded healer. Have you ever heard the concept of the wounded healer? It's actually the name of a very influential book for me anyway, The Wounded Healer by Henry Nouwen. And it is the profound idea that the one who heals is also the one who is broken. That the doctor who cares is also the one who needs to be cared for by the very person who was originally thought to be just the patient. That the pastor is pastored by the person she or he is pastoring. That the teacher is also taught by the student. The wounded healer is the one who is open to vulnerability, curiosity, grace, healing, and power working both ways. Jesus shows us his woundedness in this text, the brokenness of his body, the scarred tissue, and the hunger pangs. And that is exactly what enables the power and glory of Easter to shine. The salvific promise to really take hold. You know, salvation comes from the Latin word salvus, that means healing. Salvation, healing. Always got to put those two words side by side. Salvation comes from that same word that means healing. Christ is the ultimate wounded healer, the one who is open to vulnerability, grace, healing, and power, working both ways. Have you anything to eat? He asks. He feeds and is fed. Do you see? At Bethlehem, we've been saying a lot, kind of a sort of an unofficial signature. At Bethlehem, we are still fed as we're people around the manger at Bethlehem. We are still fed by God and still feeding others. We say that a lot. That's all through the year. It's modeled here by Jesus. It's not just some made up thing. Jesus models this. Fed and feeding others. Feeding others and being fed ourselves. Jesus as the wounded healer is a different kind of idea. Let's just put a little more flesh on this idea. It's profound. This woundedness of Jesus sets Jesus apart from any other religious deity. That the divinity of God is wrapped up in suffering, brokenness of body, hunger pangs. Show me a God who's broken or who gets hungry in any other religion. I had a mentor who is Pakistani, and he grew up a Muslim, educated by Hindus, and eventually he became a Christian theology professor at Luther Seminary. That's where I met him. He shares his story, which is awesome, and you learn that he converted to Christianity for this reason. Jesus is wounded. That's why he converted. Jesus is wounded and even dies and thereby heals us. No other religion has that, he exclaims. Your God dies, he says. He's jolly, like how I kind of imagine Martin Luther when he says this. But it's also so provocative. He kind of blew the group that I was in away when he said that. And I've never forgotten it. He says, some people want to argue about which God is stronger, in the world's terms, I should clarify, which God is stronger, the Muslim God, Allah, or the Christian God. And I always tell them, he says, it's Allah, because Allah never dies. Ooh. But our Christian God, this is, I should say his name, this is Dr. Amjad Ali. Our Christian God, he says, died on a cross. And that's God's power, not the world's power. That's God's power. It's made manifest in brokenness, in being hungry, and ultimately, it's made manifest in our healing. Now, I want to be careful here. I definitely don't mean to sow seeds of any anti-Muslim sentiments. That would be missing the point. God knows there's enough hatred of Muslims in the United States right now. But I am wanting to drive home the point of Easter in case you missed it with this provocative illustration. Jesus is so close to us this day. He lives among us as our wounded healer. He points us to the brokenness of his own body. Look at my hands. Look at my side, he said last week. I'm hungry, he says this week. He points us to the brokenness of his own body and the brokenness of this world. He points us to his scars and his pain. Sally McFaig, theologian, great theologian and scholar, talks about the wounds of Jesus. Get this. The wounds of Jesus as the very wounds of this planet Earth in her book, Body of God. The wounds of Jesus are the very wounds of the earth, the creation groaning. I think of those images of trash clogging up streams, those images of brown clouds of pollution in the sky, birds' wings covered in oil, acres as far as the eye can see of deforestation and these homeless critters just kind of wandering around as the forest kind of smolders, the lost forest. I mean, indeed, this caring for creation Sunday that we mark today, this blessing of the animals that we'll do today after or as an extension of worship, it's about way more than just our sweet little puppies. It's about that too. But it's about way more than just the animals closest to us. Jesus hungers, aches. Have you ever been so hungry that it aches? Jesus hungers right alongside us for peace. I want to encourage you to understand this great Easter greeting that we say every Sunday, peace be with you. I want to encourage you to understand it in ecological terms too. Peace be with you. Peace to, and I mean God's peace, to all the creatures. Peace to the plants and the trees. Peace to the trees. Peace to the inhabitants of the ocean and the desert. Peace to migrating birds and bears coming out of hibernation. Peace between nations and peace between peoples. It's not just a nice story today about Jesus wanting some of that tasty fish. It's Jesus yearning for justice, for righteousness to roll down like an ever-flowing stream. I am hungry, he says. Jesus is starved for you to know that you are forgiven this day. And that means you're freed then from the bonds of hatred and violence, freed from the bonds of self-centeredness, freed from the bonds that tell us only to look out for me first and those who look, act, and think most like me. Freed from the bonds of your own experience and pain. Jesus is starved for you to know that you are forgiven this day. What in your life this day is holding you down from embracing the promise of God's never-ending presence and forgiveness that Jesus makes known to us in the resurrection? What in your life is holding you down from freedom, from caring even more for all of God's creation? Jesus breaks those bonds, friends. Jesus lifts you up from that which is holding you down. And Jesus goes with you now from the empty tomb. Just in case you missed Easter. It's wonderful, I think, how the only Easter scene at the tomb is on Easter Sunday morning. When we hear about the women and the missing body at the empty tomb, the only Easter scene is at the tomb on Easter Sunday morning. We hear that story only on Easter Sunday morning, but the majority of Easter stories are stories that happen around a table or when there's food involved. The disciples in the upper room, we heard that last week. The road to Emmaus, great Easter story where Jesus breaks the bread and suddenly their eyes are open. What about Jesus barbecuing breakfast on the beach after the resurrection? As my old mentor used to say, biblically mandated barbecuing. I love that story. Food is involved. And then this text for today, there's always food and a circle gathered in the majority of Easter stories. That's to say, Jesus appears in our daily lives, friends. Christ is made known not through words only, but also in the breaking of the bread, in the eating. In the eating, there is healing. We are not perfect, that's for sure. But because of Christ's Easter power, we too are made healers. Wounded healers. Because of Christ's Easter power, we too are fed and feeding others, sent for the sake of the earth, commissioned commissioned, shepherded by Christ himself, who loves us all, who guides us, who forgives us, and holds this whole creation, holds us all, this day and forever. Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.